This morning we'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, reading from the English Standard Version. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And we'll add verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Again, the word of the Lord. Luke begins his narrative of the life of Jesus by clearly showing that a door in heaven has been thrown wide open and that messengers are now being sent to say something to us here on earth. God is speaking, and God is revealing his good news to help helpless sinners. He is there, and he is not silent. And he is not silent because he loves us, and he wants to help those who cannot help themselves. A messenger appeared to Zechariah with something to say back in chapter 1, verse 13. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." The angel identified himself and stated plainly that he was coming with good news. Verse 19, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." The same angel then appeared to Mary, chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And again, the angel had good news. Verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And now again, an angel appears to a group of shepherds with a message of good news. Chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then the whole host of heaven burst out into singing. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This morning I want us to hear what these angels of heaven are saying. We begin with the context, that is the setting for this story. We know this as the Christmas story. It's Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. But it's what the angels say that Luke really wants us to think about. It appears that the point of telling us all of this is not just to tell us that Jesus Christ is born, but he is telling it in such a way that he's drawing our attention to what is said on this occasion by the angels. Now, we know this from the way that Luke tells the story. He begins with five verses that firmly anchors this story in human history, and then it only takes him two verses to talk about the birth of Christ. And then he follows this with seven verses that describe what the angels say to the shepherds and the song that the angels sang, and then six more verses describing how the shepherds repeated this angel's message to Mary and Joseph. Clearly, Luke wants us to be thinking, to hear, and to think about what the angels of heaven are saying. Luke wants us to know that this is not just a good story, it's history. This is something that really happened. He anchors the birth of Christ in time. Verse 1, he says, "in those days," and then he references a census that was made and follows that up with a couple of names, Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, governor of Syria, and then Luke gives us the actual places that are involved, Galilee and Nazareth and Judea and Bethlehem. This is not just a good story to be read on Christmas morning as you're sitting under the Christmas tree. It's a good story, but it is a true narrative, actual events that occurred in history 2,000 years ago. And then Luke gives us the sequence of events. There's a journey. Mary and Joseph make their way to Bethlehem. There's the birth. Verses 6 and 7, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And then the scene shifts rather quickly to the shepherds. An angel appeared. The angel says something to them, and then other angels suddenly appear, and they begin to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, what prompted the song? Why did the angels of heaven all of a sudden gather and then burst into singing this song? Well, it's very clear. It's based on what this one angel has just said to the shepherds, the message of this angel to the shepherds. And it's from that message, I want to draw your attention to three great truths. First of all, the angel said that God's doing something and that this thing that God is doing is for everyone. Verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." For the third time, an angel comes and says, "Fear not." Fear not, Zechariah. Fear not, Mary. And now to the shepherds, fear not. This is good news. This is good news that will bring great joy. And this good news is for everyone, for all the people. This good news is for professional religious leaders like Zechariah who only work one day a week. This is good news for lowly shepherds who always have to work the night shift. This is good news for elderly people like Elizabeth, but it's also good news for young girls like Mary. And all through his gospel, Luke will show us that Jesus is the Savior for all kinds of people. This thing that God is doing in sending his Son into the world to save helpless sinners is for all the people, all kinds of people. It's for everyone. Secondly, this thing that God is doing is something that's happening today. Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." For unto you. This is something, what God is doing is for all the people, but that means it's certainly being done for you. And it's something that's done this day, today. It becomes this key word and concept for Luke as he writes this gospel, that today is the day of salvation. Later on, Luke's going to tell a little story about a little man. It's in Luke 19. I want to read this little story, verses 1 through 10. "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named," what? "Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. And so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, and he said that he's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" What the angel is telling the shepherds is that God is doing something now, today. No more sitting in darkness and waiting for the light, for the sunrise. Today, right now, God is sending his Son into the world to help helpless sinners. Today is always today. As long as we live and breathe, the door is always open. It is always today. Pastor Walters was praying on the basis of Hebrews, the next chapter over to Hebrews chapter 3. We find the author here working through this same theme of today. Hebrews 3, verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 12, take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, and as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Today is always today. For unto you, this day, today, is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then thirdly, this thing that God is doing is something that's really happening. Verse 12, the angel says to the shepherds, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This will be a sign for you. Signs are given to confirm and strengthen our faith. Earthly signs are given by God to point us to the reality of his heavenly gifts and his grace. The rainbow after a rainstorm. The water in baptism. The bread in the Lord's Supper. It's a heavenly sign. Being given by God to point us to his gifts and grace. Signs do not create the reality. And signs are not given to try to make us believe in something that's not really there. Signs point to reality. But the signs are given so that we might have our faith confirmed and that we would understand it. Think about the highway signs as you drive through the Great Smoky Mountains of North Carolina. Highway department doesn't just put them up there because they're so pretty and yellow and, you know, sitting in the midst of the trees. The signs are put there to warn you, to point to something that's up ahead and around the bend, something that you can't see. You know it's there because you know you're in the mountains and you've got to go around the mountain, but the signs are placed there to confirm that you're going to see a lot of twists and turns. Mary was given a sign. Looking back in chapter 1, Mary believed as soon as she heard God's word through the angel, chapter 1, verse 38. Her response was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. But God graciously gave her a sign to help her faith. The angel said, look, you've got a relative who is an elderly lady, and she's been barren all her life. And if you run over to her house right now, you're going to see that she's 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible with God. And so the angel offers this sign. And so Mary got up and ran in faith and found the reality. Verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women. Mary believed, but then God graciously gave a sign to confirm and strengthen her faith. The shepherds are now given this sign. And the shepherds believed long before they ever saw the sign. Look at verse 15. We'll come back to this in just a minute. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." They believed that Christ the Lord had been born before they ever got up and went over there to see it. They had not seen the baby, and yet they believed. What sign do you have that God is really for us and not against us? How do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God is for you and not against you? What sign do we now have that God is willing to help sinners who can't help themselves? I mean, God is up there in heaven. You can't see him. You know that he's there. But you also know that he's holy and that he hates sin and he has promised to destroy sinners. But you also know that he loves and he calls people to repent and to believe. What tangible thing do you and I have right now as a sign of his love? God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. God himself coming down in the person of Jesus, the baby Jesus, the Christ child, is God's own sign that he is for us and not against us. And this is something that really happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." What in the world is glory? The word glory means majesty, excellence, astounding beauty. It inspires wonder and joy. It's the shiny stuff when you look at something that's valuable and you really don't know, you know, like a gold ring or something. It's the shiny stuff that kind of, you know, when the little rays come off of it, you know, and it looks sparkly. Glory. The outshining, the radiance of something that is beautiful and valuable, even though you can't see it. You see the shining. Again, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." The outshining, the radiance, the rays of God's glory. Zechariah called it the sunrise. Chapter 1. "To give the knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. God's sign that he is forever for us and not against us and has determined to save us and transform us is the sending of Jesus into the world to show us the glory of the Father. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The baby Jesus, the Christ child, is both the sign and the reality of the glorious riches of God's love and grace toward those who can't help themselves. Now, what's to be our response to this message of the angel? This is good news for everybody. It's for all the people. It is good news for today. The door is open, and as long as you live and breathe, that door is open, and today is today. And this is real. God has made a way for helpless sinners to be saved. So what's to be our response? There's at least two responses that we should look at. First of all, there's the response on the part of the shepherds, and we should not miss this. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. This thing, this word that was spoken that became a reality, it's something that is said, but all of a sudden it becomes an event. What was said now is the birth of Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God, the sign that becomes the reality, the word that becomes flesh. This thing that has happened, notice there's no doubt in their minds. God said it. It must be so. It has already happened. This thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us. We would never have known this if God had not revealed this. He is there and he is not silent. He has spoken and he has told us what he is doing. But the shepherds don't just sit there and think about it. They don't make little notes in their journal and say, well, this is a good message. This is something I'm going to have to think about. What did they say? Let us get up and go and see this thing that has happened. Their response is one of daring faith in God's word that now leads them on an adventure. Let us go and see this. It's the courageous act of living with only God's word to guide you. Let us go and see this thing. Is that not what God calls us to? A life of daring faith in God's word. A willingness to get up and go through life with only God's word to guide us. But then there's the response on the part of Mary. Verse 16, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the baby lying in a manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. That is, there's a word of God that comes from the angels to the shepherds, and the shepherds now share it with Mary and Joseph. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And again, is this not what God calls us to? To hear the word of God. To value the word of God. To treasure it up in our hearts, to ponder it, to turn it over in our minds and our hearts and to think about it. You know, what does this mean? How should we then live? You know, how does this apply to who I am as a person? To treasure that word and to ponder it up in your heart, to think deeply of how we should then live. I am sure that that is why you came to church this morning. I mean, you know this is the Advent season. It's even the day before Christmas. You know what you're going to hear this morning. You know what passage is going to be read. It's either going to be Matthew or Luke. You know, it's one or the other. You've heard it before. You hear it every year in some form or fashion. No surprises. Nothing new here. But you came this morning because you wanted to hear it again. You treasure it. You want to ponder it. It's not something you just take in and say, well, I know that, let's go on to something else. It's something that you want to hear every year. What God is doing for helpless sinners in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's part of your identity as a Christian, as a person who is in Christ. This is who I am. I am a person who treasures the Word of God. I ponder it. I look for that application of that Word to guide me every day of the year. To treasure up God's Word, to ponder the truth that is revealed here, and then to be sent back out on that adventure with nothing but the Word of God to guide you. Let's pray. Father, this is who we are. We are your people. We are called by your name. We have been redeemed by your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Spirit indwells within us. And so we ask that you would continue to work in us as we ponder this word, that you would once again this year use this good news to bring us into a real appreciation for your grace and mercy and love, and that you would guide us every day as we leave this place, that we would go in the strength of your Holy Spirit and guided by your word. And Father, for those who, this is all odd and strange and doesn't seem to make sense, we ask that you would be gracious and merciful to them. Open their eyes, open their ears, open their hearts. We know that there is no one who can save sinners except you. We cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive that eternal life from him unless you effectually call us through the words of your good news, your gospel. Father, do that this morning. For your people, confirm and strengthen their faith. We thank you so much for the gift that you have given to us, the gift in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.